Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We have finally located Dan Kish. He's escaped from the swamp. He's in an undisclosed location. He is our resident expert on the podcast. Any of you who listen quite often, you know that we go to Dan for energy issues. And Dan, welcome back on the show. We won't disclose your location, but it looks like you're out in the mountains somewhere hiding from everyone. You're outside of the swamp, though, for sure.
I'm chopping wood, getting ready for the potential of the Green New Deal, because I'm going to have to supply my own.
But you can't burn wood with the Green New Deal. We've talked about this before.
Yes, you're right.
Unless it's a lightning strike, and then in California, you burn practically down the whole state. We've talked about that before on the podcast, and for those of you, I put up a special edition going back and looking at a couple of years ago when we had somebody from the Forestry Association actually talk about these catastrophic fires, and I combined both of those episodes into one so that you could review it. So if you want to go back and listen, we don't have a Rumble version of it, a video version, but we do have it on iTunes. So Dan, welcome back. And obviously there's an election coming up, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this situation because Pennsylvania has been key, and the western part of Pennsylvania, it's key to Republicans because typically those are Reagan Democrats. They voted for Trump last time. And there seems to be, you bring up the Green New Deal because Biden is for the Green New Deal one day, then he's kind of not for it. He's for banning fracking. What is the truth? What did Biden actually say? Because the fake news media is, of course, covering it up, because it's not a popular position for Biden to say that he's going to ban fracking. So can you clear this up for our viewers and listeners?
Well, I'll try, Congressman. What Joe Biden has said is a number of different things, and that's why the confusion erupts. He said during one of the debates, no fracking, no drilling, no oil and gas wells, basically. Later, he came back when confronted with the fact that Pennsylvania has now become the largest, second largest gas producing state in the nation. And Ohio, adjacent to it, is also a huge producer. And it's bringing enormous jobs, not only for the people who actually produce the natural gas, but they're building chemical and plastic plants and that sort of thing.
This is really in the heart of the Rust Belt, really between Pittsburgh and Youngstown, Ohio.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. And that structure that is in there produces an enormous amount of natural gas, and it's producing enormous amounts of jobs because the price of energy is dropping for all the manufacturers, and they're bringing manufacturing back to the United States because of the cheap energy. And it's a great success story, but it's all dependent upon fracking, honestly, because 90% of the wells that are drilled in the United States are hydraulically fracked, and instead of going down vertically, they're actually horizontal wells. And that's the difference. The major difference is that it follows where the oil and gas lays.
Dan, it's so great that we now have you on video. But for our audio viewers, Dan was actually making a motion of how the fracking's going. So it's just, I just want to say I'm impressed, Dan, with your skills on Skype here.
Oh, well, thank you.
But let's take everybody back. Also, it was only a short time ago when we were worried in this country that we were actually going to run out of gas and oil completely, because we had put most of the offshore ocean out off the coast of California, Florida, et cetera. That was a place where we knew traditionally there's lots of oil, lots of gas out there, but it was put off limits by the government for many years. We did open ANWR, where there's a lot of oil, and I know that's going to slowly come online and fill that Alaskan oil pipeline back up over time. That's being worked on. But it wasn't that long ago, Dan, until this miracle that happened. You know this history better than I do, But it was really discovered, I believe. Well, first, initially, it was worked on in Kern County, I believe, way back where they started the fracking and some preliminary work on that. But then it really made the oil sands in North Dakota. That's where it really boomed. And I remember being out there and touring that with you many, many moons ago. But that technology has improved so much to the point where now it's being used on these older formations that used to produce gas, what, 100 years ago or so?
Yes.
And the gas was no longer easy to get, so it was being imported. That, along with bad trade deals, shifted a lot of that manufacturing out. So you can understand why people in that area are really back to voting for Republicans, because we're bringing jobs back. So that, in a nutshell, is the Biden problem with fracking, correct?
Yes. And once he discovered that this was a problem in those industrial areas and areas where they're bringing jobs back to the United States, he said, I'm not against fracking. I won't ban fracking. I will only do it on government lands and waters. And so that's his position now, as of this date. We'll see about tomorrow.
So wait a second. In order to get out of the Democratic primary, he endorsed the Green New Deal, which is essentially, it's not just how they're going to no longer rely on any fossil fuels whatsoever, not burn anything whatsoever, but they're also going to socially engineer, guarantee people paychecks, all of that. He initially endorsed that, which of course is banning fracking. Then he said he was going to ban fracking. Now he's moved his position. Was this in the last couple of weeks that he's moved his position?
Yes, in the last couple of weeks, he was in Pennsylvania and said, I'm not going to ban fracking here because the land in Pennsylvania is private land. There isn't a lot of government land out east. It's all out west, as you so well know, in California and the western.
Oh, wow. So it's a nuanced position now.
Yes, but make no mistake about it, when combined with his promise to basically ban the use of natural gas, which is what he's doing by 2035, according to his plan, it doesn't matter. I mean, if there's no use for the natural gas for electrical generation, it's our largest source of electricity right now, which is important to California, as you know.
Right. And part of the reasons why we have these brownouts again in California is because we have initiated the early stages of the so-called Green New Deal. We're the guinea pigs of this. When we had these brownouts over a decade ago, everybody said, well, this is when I say everybody, the Democrats said, well, we just don't like these nuclear power plants and we don't want to burn coal, but natural gas is okay. And so we built, paid, that's why our electricity rates went sky high in California, and we built some natural gas plants to produce electricity. Now, it won't surprise you, Dan, that those are now being shut down, which is why we now, when it gets hot and you need the power, and actually, if the governor didn't have us in like total lockdown, where restaurants aren't open, small retailers aren't open, schools aren't open, churches aren't open in California, we really would have had an even bigger problem because there's no longer enough power. But anyway, I just want to make sure the listeners and audience understand what's happening in California, Dan. And that is, it's happened in California. It's Biden's position. And now he's, but really, Dan, I just explain to me, how can you be for the Green New Deal and before 2035, it's going to be implemented, no burning of anything, but now it's okay because it's okay to frack on private land, he's saying.
Yes.
Okay. Which I just want to make sure I'm following you. All right.
It makes a
little hard to follow.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just the messenger here. But in essence, what he's saying is, the agricultural analogy might work. You can grow all the vegetables you want, but we're going to tell people that they're on an all-meat diet. And so in other words, if you've got a farm, I'm not going to stop you from growing your vegetables. I'm just going to say no one can eat them.
Right. So
that's what he's doing with his energy plan on the other end of it. So he tells people in Pennsylvania, I'm not against your fracking. Keep fracking. But if you go to sell it, nobody's going to be able to buy it because we're going to ban its use. That's basically what he's doing.
Right, right. At least for today, that's what he's doing. But look, this is important going into this election. And I've actually spent some time in Pennsylvania over the last couple of years in those areas and in Ohio. I'm going to be back in Ohio in a few weeks looking at these industries, studying these industries, because, you know, making sure people understand what we're doing in California, it's not working. And it would be so sad because to finally see some life back in these old famous cities where there were manufacturing plants. I mean, it was the Rust Belt. To see the little green sprouts of life is amazing. And I think that's what Donald Trump saw as a business guy. He said it was wrong, and then he took on China. Obviously, the only thing that seems to move the socialist left now is bad polling. And so clearly that was polling badly in Pennsylvania. Appears like, you know, those areas in western Pennsylvania, I think the president's going to do very, very well there. I'm not sure if Biden's going to change his position again on this, but we'll see.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right that the importance of energy can't be understated, Congressman. It has been leading the economy's regrowth. The fact that we were able to grow the economy during a period of time when we were basically pouring on the energy at affordable prices so that we could compete worldwide made a total difference in terms of economic growth. And it's often missed by the media pundits and that sort of thing. But honestly, if people pay less for energy, they can pay more for other things. They can pay more for jobs of the people who manufacture things. They can pay their people more because they're paying less for the same product to heat their building or to run their furnaces or whatever it may be. And all of those things were instrumental in the rebirth of the economy and the American spirit that was going along so good until we got the China virus.
Right. And I think we have to underscore, too, it's the combination of unleashing all of this new gas and new energy supplies. And I think it would be worth it also, Dan, for you to talk about how we've gone. And last time we had you on the show, but it's been a while because we had to find you, we had to locate you. So during this pandemic, Dan was impossible to find. But we now are producing more energy in this country than we can consume for the first time since the early 70s. Is that right?
Since the late 50s.
Late 50s.
Late 50s. For most of your listeners or viewers' lives, the United States has been fighting for energy independence. It was something we were told we couldn't do. As a matter of fact, in 2012, President Obama, when running for re-election, said, we can't drill our way out of this, and we have to live with less, in essence. I mean, Jimmy Carter said this back in the 70s. It just time after time, we were told we were running out of energy. We couldn't produce enough. We had to change the way we did things because we just didn't have enough. We're going to be dependent on the Middle East for our future, and that would make us subject to all these entanglements. And by God, people figured out a way, Americans figured out a way to do it. And we went back in a place that's been drilling longer than any other place in the world, the United States, and found enormous new quantities of oil and gas, and that freed us up. So that also lifted this cloud over our heads. Now we're being told to use it.
Exactly, right. So once again, it's a total contradiction because, of course, we could be energy independent. Even back in the day when Obama was saying you couldn't drill your way out, it was clear then there was going to be a way, but they have the dream of banning all drilling, and that's why they were hoping and praying that they could stop the fracking. And then when they failed at that, because places like North Dakota, where there's private land and not federal land, so they put all the federal lands where you couldn't frack, then they stopped all the pipelines. We have to remember that, so you couldn't move the oil and gas around the country, another inhibitor to economic growth. And, you know, and all of this is so nutty, but it's important for us to take the audience through this. And the reason why the tax cuts were so important to this is when you match the energy along with the tax cuts. And when I say tax cuts, we were penalizing people for doing certain things. We weren't just letting people in make investments that they wanted to make. So if you want to lower your price of energy, you could invest in things like fracking and new technology. You could actually, it freed up a lot of money, by the way, for real green energy, right? Windmills and solar panels that, you know, are never going to solve the problem, but they can be a key component, especially when you match tax cuts with abundant fossil fuel, where we're fracking and drilling to bring costs down. It actually helps, Dan, I hope everybody understands it. It helps. Well, first of all, natural gas is one of the cleanest burning fuels. We have to always remember that. But when you free up the economy, it lets people like Elon Musk and Tesla invest in battery plants and put more investment in that. Of course, you know, now we know he's leaving California and going to Texas. Why? Because the taxes are too high. So all those jobs are going to leave California and go to Texas. So when you hear the Democrats and the socialist left talk to us about, oh, how bad tax cuts go for rich people and this, that, well, the opposite of that is what you have in California, where jobs leave. We pay the highest price for electricity power that we can't even get. And then I don't have to tell you, Dan, you I know you're not in California hiding out, but what we've experienced in California could have been completely prevented, but we've burnt down in my two counties. We're going to get close to 600,000 acres in 1 year that we've burnt down. And Dan, you've worked on those issues for so long. And so every time the left and their policies don't make any sense. And so then this is kind of the final point to this, Dan, because a lot of people will say, why is this, Dan? Why are they doing it? Why do they want to ban fracking? Why won't they let you put in a pipeline? What's behind all this? Why do they not want us to? Why are they shutting down the nuclear power plants? I get that question a lot because California's been the leader in this. What's your, and this is kind of their final outtake, Dan, explain to all of our young viewers, and I say that, and listeners, I say that because it's important to understand these concepts that, Dan, you've been involved in your entire life fighting these issues, and it's really just for common sense so that people can keep their jobs and we can grow the economy here in America and not be reliant to buy things from foreign countries. So I want you to kind of walk us through what is really behind these people's motives.
Well, at the end of the day, Congressman, this has never been an argument about energy or the environment, for that matter. These have been guises, costumes, putting lipstick on a pig. It's never been about energy. It's been about power. Who controls the power?
Political, raw political power.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. That's ultimately what this is about. If you can control someone's energy consumption, what they do, the decisions they make in their businesses, how they can travel, the distances they can travel, all of these decisions that we make at our kitchen tables or in our offices, if you can control those and make people come to Washington to ask for permission or Sacramento to ask for permission, and be told no because you don't fit our view of the world, then you have control over those people, because nothing has liberated more people than the advancement of energy and its widespread application across our economy. It's what makes life possible because it amplifies human strength. It's why the United States, with 300 million people, can outproduce China with five times as many people, because we use energy to do that. And make no mistake about it, they have every intention to use energy to make life better for their people, and they are. And the problem in our governments is that we have people seeking power over our lives, and that ought to scare people.
Well, and that's one of the things in China, you know, they don't care about the environment at all, which is why it's so dirty there and the air is awful there. Well, kind of like it is in California now with the fires, sadly. But when you look at what China's done, command and control, but they've now figured out they have to pour the energy into the economy because their communist policies failed for so many decades. And so now they know, now they've basically broken off all the inhibitors. Now they still control all the power, but they're not, and all the energy, but they're basically putting it out, and then they decide who gets it within their economy. Yeah. They decide who gets the permit to build the big manufacturing plant that's buying probably every device, most of the devices that you're listening to this on right now. A lot of those components are coming from China. The Chinese Communist Party decides who gets to make those. They decide who gets the energy. And it's really only, you know, that it's really only kind of the real freaks here in the U.S. that, you know, worship at the climatology global warming altar. There's not too many of those people, but it's the politics around it. It's the grifters. It's the lawyers. It's all of the groups, these environmental groups that in the name of green energy and green economies and all these things that sound nice. And then they're poisoning all of our children with this nonsense. And then those of us, and I say us, you know, talking about the San Joaquin Valley where I live, that actually have to live off the land and treat it like a garden and ensure that it has the right soil, the right water, the right temperatures. And what we are not doing in the mountains in my district, which should be treated like a garden, it ends up burning down. And so it's just like, whether it's the Delta smell and flushing water out to the ocean, this is the same exact thing. These people just want power over the economy, and they pen power over all Americans.
Yes. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. And of course, along the way, it hurts the poorest among us. It hurts people struggling to get by. It hurts people trying to get that first job or that opportunity and the rest. It doesn't do anybody any good to make their energy prices go up and their quality of life go down. That's simply not good. And the beauty of our technology and the beauty of our system in America is that we can actually produce the energy, produce it, and do it safely and protect the environment at the same time, just as you do with agriculture in the San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah, and the jobs are just so, the jobs in this energy industry are just so phenomenal. They're high-paying jobs. People learn great skills that you can, you know, not only if you want to leave the energy sector, go to another, because you've got to have it's a lot like agriculture, where you have to know how to drive and operate either heavy machinery or tools that are quite complex. And Dan, I'm sure they're even more complex than when you and I went out and studied that years ago in North Dakota at the early part of that boom when fracking was just taking off. And now you fast forward, you know, as you see these jobs that are coming back in the Rust Belt, I mean, these are, people are getting their livelihoods back, they're getting their dignity back, and they have real skills. And it's what we want to see for all Americans. And that's why this election is so critically important. And I want to thank you for kind of shedding some light on what's going on in the Rust Belt, specifically in Pennsylvania. And you tried to explain Biden's position. I'm not sure I understand it or the audience understands it, but it was a good attempt, Dan.
Thank you, Congressman. And it's always great to see you. And you know, all America is pulling for your district and those fires and all the rest. It's just awful. And again, bad management, bad political decisions, awful results. And someday people will wake up.
Well, hopefully they'll wake up before this November. And yes. Dan, coming to you from his bunker, undisclosed location, safe outside the swamp. And by the way, I should say, Dan, I don't want to give away where you live in Washington, D.C., but I know there for a little while it was a little scary for you because I know they were tearing down statues right in front of your apartment there.
Yes. I fly a flag on my house, and I was afraid I would be targeted because of that. Just an American flag, you know, just a house looks better with an American flag in my view. Some don't think so, Congressman.
I couldn't believe they tried to tear that statue down. Famous statue, obviously. I'm not going to tell people where you are because they'll probably, some of the lunatics listening to this might show up at your house and now that you're not living there anymore because you're at your bunker. But I'm glad you're safe, you and your family. I want to thank all of you again for listening. It's great to have Dan Kish back on the air with us again. You can watch this on Rumble. It's a great growing platform. So many podcasts are now going there. So if you're not on Rumble yet, Dan Bongino made the switch along with a lot of other content creators because we're trying to do everything we can before this election to inform all of you that Google and YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and the Twitter sewer are trying to sway this election, and they're keeping you from getting the real information. So, Dan, we can find you. We'll put your are you on Parler yet, Dan? Probably not. Still on Twitter, I bet.
Yes.
All right. You're still in the Twitter sphere. All right. We'll work on you on that. So we got to get you on Parler.
Okay.
Dan Kish, everybody, with the Institute for Energy Research. This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. We, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.